Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget all the things you can do there. Hundreds of articles, thousands of archives. There's a daily a motivational minute that you can dial into and read a little quick pick-me-up, and takes less than a minute to do that. And you can also subscribe to my free newsletter, and you can also find out more about our Brain Trust members, including our good friend, Mr. Robert Jollis, who's the author of Customer Centered Selling, and also How to Run Seminars and Workshops. That's two different books. And that one, by the way, is in second edition. And he comes to us from the land of cicadas. Rob Jollis, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Nice having me. I hope I can get through the cicada hum that's behind my head.
It's good to have you back, Rob, as always. And yeah, tell us now, you're in the DC area.
Right.
And so you're running into the cicadas are out in force, and what did you tell me? It was like a spaceship landing or something?
Yeah, anybody who's up in the Northeast, I think, would agree with me. It pretty much sounds as if there's a spaceship landing from the moment you wake up in the morning till probably about 8 o'clock at night. But it's a couple weeks, and I after 17 years of sitting in a hole, I think they deserve a little buzz here or there.
Well, now, I have heard people tell me that they had to shovel them off of their driveway just to get the car out. They had so many of them. Maybe they just, I think these were ladies who just didn't like the crunch of running over them.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of cicada myths going around. I wouldn't say it's quite that intense, but they're all over the place. And I know my two dogs are getting fatter by the day because they're eating them.
Well, I understand that they're not supposed to, the dogs are not supposed to eat them.
Well, that's what we keep explaining to the dogs, but
they don't listen. Well, you know, I heard that they're pretty good with a little pepper and salt and on a cracker or something. Have you tried that?
From being from the Northeast, if I was going to have one, I'd probably have it a little fried with some Old Bay seasoning and some butter.
Sauteed with a nice remoulade sauce or a Bernaise sauce or something like that, huh?
And
a nice Chianti. Okay, Rob, let's talk about this most important activity in our business, selling. And one of the things that I know you talk to people about is how to get their heads out of the hole in the ground that it seems like a lot of salespeople just don't want to think outside the box anymore. Tell us about what you've been working on.
Well, you know, particularly in my industry, where probably 70% of my clients are the financial industry, I think that compliance has scared people so badly that they are really afraid to think creatively. And I find that to be a shame, because I really don't think that's what compliance is encouraging people to do. But I just see more of a culture of people just not thinking creatively anymore. And I'll give you one real fast example. You know, I work with a lot of banks, probably half the banks in the country. And, each one thinks they've got the secret clue to holding on to clients, which is to provide customer service. Unfortunately, there isn't a bank out there that's conceding that issue and putting up signs that we're not really into customer service, but our numbers are good. So everybody kind of looks the same, and it becomes a question of who's thinking a little bit more creatively? And when I go around and talk to different companies, banks, whoever, and ask them, okay, think out of the box, you know, what's your most creative idea? The answers I'll get are, we know the client's name. We say hello when they walk in the door. I mean, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't exactly refer to that as thinking out of the box.
No, that's kind of minimal. And the thing is what you just described, mm-hmm, is sadly what a lot of small business owners would answer.
Well, yeah, sometimes just for the kicks, in a seminar, I'll say, okay, take a guess why my parents, who are older and in Bonita Springs, Florida, incredibly loyal to their bank, 12 years, what's the number one reason why they go to that bank? And they'll list it every time. And again, people say, coffee at the bank. And the answer, believe it or not, is dog biscuits. You know, they're in an area where people are fairly elderly. I get down there about four times a year. But when I'm not there, as with a lot of people there, they've got their two miniature dachshunds, and I'm not sure if the bank knows their name, but they know the dog's name, and out come the biscuits with their bank deposit.
Right.
And they will never change from that bank. To me, Jim, that's thinking out of the box a little bit.
It's like the playground at McDonald's, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. I saw a report one time where they went into a class of third graders, and they put a big red circle on the board, and they asked 31 third graders to write on a piece of paper what they saw. And they saw a witch's nose and a red baseball and a laser gun. 31 kids wrote something down. Not one of them wrote a dot on the board. Mm-hmm. They went into an adult class, did the same exact study, and not one of them did not write a dot on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's really reflects how, I don't know whether it's in our school systems or where, somewhere along the line, we seem to be discouraged from thinking creatively.
Well, now, is this a problem with our sales force, or is this a problem with management?
I think it's probably both. I think the sales force is, depending on which crew you're working with, takes its direction from management. I think there's some nervousness about turning people loose and saying think out of the box. But again, if I can just hone in on one industry that's got a lot of compliance, that's anything in the financial industry,
mm-hmm.
That's what compliance is for. Compliance is there to give you the guidelines. But nobody in compliance is going to tell you don't give out dog biscuits.
I heard a commercial the other day from a financial company, and it was about 20 seconds of the catchiest, cutest, most memorable, creative message that I've heard in a long time, and 40 seconds of fast-talking compliance disclaimer.
That's our world.
Yeah.
You know, real fast, but I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Tin Men.
Yeah.
It's an older movie. For anybody listening to this show, you really should rent it. It's two guys selling, some guys selling window siding. But there's a particular scene that I love, which they call Life Magazine. And if you want to see two creative people, again, we won't talk ethics right now, just thinking out of the box. Rent that movie, and you'll see what I mean by encouraging people to think out of the box. The only footnote we'll put on it is, please, ethically out of the box.
Well, exactly. No question about it. Mm-hmm. Rob, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, folks, I want you to think about your small business. And are any of the things that Rob is talking about happening in your business? And you know, one of the things where we can run rings around the big companies is thinking creatively. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more right after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us.
I'm sitting on the dock.
We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rob Jolles is our guest. Robert L. Jolles. Let me spell his last name for you. Jolles. And he's the author of Customer Centered Selling, 8 Steps to Success from the Sales, the World's Best Sales Force, and also How to Run Seminars and Workshops, which is in its second edition. Now, your Customer Centered Selling is in how many languages now, Rob?
I think 12 or 13. I lose track a little bit.
He can't keep up, folks. It's so successful, he can't keep up. Something under a million copies of that book has been sold worldwide. And Rob, give us your website, please.
www.jolles.com. That's jolles.com.
What do we find when we get there?
Well, actually, we're redoing that website, so in about 3 weeks you're going to find a lot more. But for right now, you'll find a little information about the company, a little information about books and where to get them, and some information about my trainers and programs.
All right, check that out when you get a chance, folks. Okay, Rob, small businesses have an incredible opportunity to run rings around the big competitors, the people out there that we think are our big competitors. We have opportunities to run rings around them, not from a capital standpoint, maybe not from a product array standpoint, probably not from a human resources standpoint, but from a creativity standpoint. from the standpoint of really thinking out of the box and being innovative, they can't keep up with us if we really put our minds to it, can they?
No, they can't. And from a guy who's come from a couple of massive corporations, Xerox and New York Life, I can tell you that, in fact, that's I'm a small businessman, too. That's really one of our key strengths, because Xerox was known as a creative company, but if I came up with a creative idea, if you give me about a year and a half to run it through Rochester and back and into that huge machinery, we might actually have an idea we can implement. For a small business, as long as we've got a good lawyer at our side making sure that what we're doing is legally sound, we run up a good idea on a Tuesday and we can implement on a Wednesday.
That's right.
And I'll give you a fast example. I'll even company drop a little bit. AIM Funds is a company that I do a lot of work with. And one of the ways that I actually landed them as a client and they landed me was I came up on my proposal with a couple of creative ideas. And we sat down and they were looking at huge companies. And they said, how can you be sure that you can implement what you've just written there? And I said, because I'm the guy who's going to implement. You're looking at the author. And everybody kind of leaned back and went, well, that's reassuring. And away we went.
Yeah, I've had that same thing to happen. I've actually given proposals and they say, how are you going to do that? I said, we do it. We can do it. We're going to do it ourselves.
Right. We don't have to run it through 100,000 people in a corporation.
Yeah, it's funny. I've worked with big companies before, Rob, and I actually almost thought that they did business with us just to watch us work. we were almost an amusement to them. But
right.
But seriously, Rob, if we aren't doing these things, we can't beat these big guys on price. We can't beat them on scale. We can't beat them on marketing penetration. But we can beat them on the delivery, the cool ways, the innovative ways, the creative ways, the customized ways that we can deliver our stuff. They can't hold a candle to us.
No, they can't.
So why don't more small businesses do that?
I think sometimes it's a little bit of fear. I think we fear the unknown a little bit, and the other reason why is I think we're really not as conditioned as we need to be to think out of the box. Most of us who run a company, a lot of us have worked for a big company.
Yeah.
We've learned the ways of the big corporation. We've put out our own shingle, but we still have this hesitancy to think creatively. I believe, Jim, you can actually train your mind to think creatively. And that I've got a book right now on the desk of Simon & Schuster getting looked at that deals just with that. And that is teaching a phrase which I've actually copywritten and trademarked called mental agility, just trying to teach the mind to move a little bit quicker, to think a little bit more creatively. And you know where I've got a lot of information from is going to some of the improvisational theaters and companies, mm-hmm. including the Improv in Chicago and Second City, and hearing how a improvisational actor is trained. Now, when we watch Whose Line Is It Anyway on ABC or Fox Channel, my question and my theory is, are you born that way or can you acquire that?
Right.
Because I think as salespeople, we'd all benefit a great deal if we can think a little bit more creatively and we can think a little bit quicker. And then the question becomes, is there a repeatable, predictable process to do that? And I say yes.
So what you're saying is even the most creative things can be made repeatable and predictable.
Oh, absolutely. Here's what I would ask that small business owner. What's the process that you're following to think creatively?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just lean out the window and say, I'm in a creative mood. So what happens is there's actual – we've done it as kids. If you've ever passed around an object and said,
right.
What do you think this is?
Right.
And everybody took a turn. What you're doing is you're literally exercising that muscle,
mm-hmm.
that creative muscle.
And we need to learn how to exercise our creative muscle of our organization. That means all of our people and get all of them into some brainstorming sessions. And that's a mm-hmm. that's a discussion we can have in another day. Rich, I'm sorry, Rob Jollis, thank you for being here. We appreciate it very much.
My pleasure.
Rob Jollis, ladies and gentlemen, that's Jollis.com. Check him out when you get a chance. Don't forget his books, Customer-Centered Selling and How to Run Seminars and Workshops. Quick break. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.